Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Neutral Game, your newbie-friendly fighting game podcast. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Miller Kovacevic from RealSovietBear.tv. I really should make a company, you know? Like, you have, like, this Scanline Media thing going, and I'm just like, oh, I'm just a random dude with an internet handle.
Well, I mean, that makes you seem like, I seem like the corporate one, and you're, like, from the streets.
I am from the streets, thank you for noticing.
Yeah, you know, you keep it real, and I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, and I play a Ryu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm here with this very, like, forced cheerfulness, artificial personality, and they just can't trust me. The folks can't trust me. They just need you to be the guiding voice of skepticism and honesty, because in these uncertain times, who can you trust? A bear.
Well, yes, but also we did bash zoners a lot in that one episode, and people were kind of like, hey, don't bash on the zoners when you're talking about character archetypes. So maybe we do have bad opinions, even if we're for the streets.
I mean, the streets are allowed to have opinions.
So which opinions are we discussing today?
Well, on this episode, we're going to be talking about Granblue Fantasy Versus. At the time of recording, the latest and greatest from Arc Systems Works.
I think it's System
Works. I have been playing this. You're right.
It's one system.
I think you're right. It's a singular. That's ironic because there are so many systems and they're freaking games. This is a fighting game on PS4 and PC. Released on PS4 significantly before it released on PC.
Whoa. It was only a month.
That's significant.
Dude, I remember, like, back in ye old days of Blaze Blue Calamity Trigger or Blaze Blue Continuum Shift, when we'd get, like a console fighting game a month before the sequel released on PC. It was just like,
yeah, but it's...
Here, I have Calamity Trigger. Cool. Oh, Continuum Shift releases in a month. Oh, okay.
But it's the year of my dude 2020. We're all up to speed now on how the world works. It's fine.
Sure.
With that said, so I've been playing it on PS4. I've been playing I would say a pretty good amount of it. I'm very, very much enjoying it. Whereas we publish this, I think when this episode comes out, I believe the last character in the Season 1 Season Pass will have been very recently released. We're recording before that happens. And maybe still won't be out on PC, because I think PC is delayed.
Yeah, but we got some DLC characters a bit later due to, to date this episode, the global pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how long have you been... How much time have you been spending with the Grandest of Blues?
So I spent around 10 hours with it. I'd say like 8 hours of that were playing with other people, mostly. I did like an hour of training mode, played the rest with people, and then did like 2 hours of story mode. Check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been playing too much of it, but the bulk of my experience is playing... with people who were also starting out, people who had spent some time with the game, and I also had a chance to play with one of my regular fighting game buddies. So I think I got like a okay impression so far.
Okay. Sounds good. What also is your experience with the IP it is based on? Because this is Granblue Fantasy Versus, which would imply, and indeed is correct, it is based on Granblue Fantasy, the popular Japanese gacha game.
My only experience with the IP is just people posting about how they're playing it. And I know a lot of friends who play gacha games, and it's usually either Granblue or Fate, or a Fate Grand Order, I think it's called, or something else. I have not played it. I've played gacha games before, but I've not played Granblue because usually... I don't try to play like super established gacha games because when I do, I get lost and overwhelmed with all the stuff they have. So usually when I try them out, I try them out like as they release.
Yeah, fair enough. I have played Granblue basically whenever they have a really big event that gives away a lot of free stuff. I'll drop in because I have, my general policy is I have my gacha games that I am keeping up with, and then because I like the genre, I will poke at others now and then. It's one of the ones I poke at now and then, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually play gacha before I feel it starts getting impossible to keep up in terms of time invested, because how my play cycle goes is, okay, I'm playing this like a week or two, and then like during week two, you kind of realize, oh, now they're kind of asking for money. And the longest gacha I played was, I played for like 4 months. It was called Crash Fever. I think it's still going. But the reason I stopped that one was, oh, I log into my mobile phone, and to actually get all my dailies, weeklies, and all the event stuff done, I need to be 3 hours on my phone playing the damn game, and then as soon as that event wraps up, there's a new event coming up, and it's just impossible to keep up with me if we keep up with the game.
Mm. Yeah, that I can appreciate that. That's part of how I have fallen pretty hard into Girls Frontline. I have missed like 3 days in the last 2 years. Because it is really, like, it doesn't ask for money, basically. Like, you can put in money, and there's stuff it will offer you, but, like, you don't need to spend any money to keep up with the competitive meta at all, and it even doesn't require very much time. So I've thought it was very thoughtful in that way. But we're not here to try and pitch you on various gacha games. We're here to talk about fighting games.
Well, technically, maybe we should talk about KOF All-Stars one day. But, yes, we're here to talk about real fighting games for real people.
So, one of the things that I feel like this game set out to do, by my reckoning, is this is, the Arxis is making a play for the Street Fighter audience, I feel like.
I would agree with that. That's definitely, my first impression, like, after an hour or so of playing it is, oh, this is the bridge, like, between Street Fighter and Anime Fighter, where it leans slightly more towards Street Fighter rather than being, like, dead center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where, like, a lot of the, like, the pace of the game is more slow and deliberate. There's no, like, air dashing in this game. It's just one character at a time, and their abilities are fairly, like, easy to read from, like, a visual perspective. And when characters have, like, unique abilities, they're not as hard to read as, like, you know, some of the stuff we've had through history, like, you know, magnetism from Taker, where as a spectator, you don't know what the hell is happening, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely, it's meant to be more accessible, and I don't mean that in the terms of, like, oh, it's simplified. It's meant more like you can turn on like a stream of this and kind of see what's going on, and if you played, you know, Grand Blue and you haven't played a fighting game before, there are enough things in place for you to get into this as kind of like a first fighting game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, talking about the various systems, what do you think is the, like, we've got the skill button and associated with that the cooldowns, which I think are kind of the biggest thing that this game does.
Yeah, I think people severely misinterpreted what this was going to end up being, because a lot of people were back in the closed beta, from what I remember reading on, like, Twitter in general, like online impressions, a lot of people's concern was, oh, it's just like, you know, an easy mode input, I'm just gonna do the complicated input because, you know, it has a lower cooldown and things like that. Or I don't want to, like, have bad habits. But from my experience, when I play, you actually want to use both the skill button and the actual input. So for those who aren't aware how it works is, each character has 4 specials. And those specials are associated with a combination of direction and the skill button. And, for example, if you want to do a fireball, you can just press the skill button. But if you want to do a fireball manually, you can do the classic input of core circle forward plus a button. And the skill button also lets you do various power levels of a special move. So, for example, you have like light, medium, and heavy attack buttons. So depending on which button you use, that's the fireball you get out. But then when you press the skill button, you can also press skill button plus the medium button to get a medium fireball out, or skill button plus the heavy to get an EX fireball out.
Right. But also one of the things that you'll note is that there are, like, the abilities have cooldowns associated with them, and the cooldowns are longer if you use the skill button than if you do a technical input.
And usually the cooldowns don't seem to be that long anyway. The most noticeable is when you're doing a EX special or a heavy special. Mm-hmm. That's when I've noticed the cooldowns are significant, but usually if you're doing lights or mediums, you can probably do it at whatever pace you do it in a regular fighting game. Mm-hmm. But now the thing where it gets kind of interesting to me is, let's say, for example, you have a charge character, and, you know, the charge input is like hold back and then press forward, but the actual skill button shortcut is just press forward plus the skill button. So technically, you can't really count on your opponent needing to charge to do a move. They can just do it out of the blue. And that's also very hard, I think, as a player to execute as well, because you have to mentally adjust, like, you know, if you get used to doing regular inputs, then when you do a simplified input, you have to go out of your way to do it. But if you're doing, like, just simple mm-hmm. inputs and you want to do the actual one to maintain your cooldown, you have to shift your mindset to, like, oh no, I need to keep my cooldown, so now I'm gonna, like, I default to skill buttons, but I need to force myself to do the actual input. So it's kind of like a good, like, mental exercise, I think, and like mental training to know how to put each type of input into your rotation, because you get different benefits. Like having, like, you know, walking forward and running forward and just doing a DP of the blue, like, on a single button is pretty powerful.
For sure. And that plays into my main specifically, because I play Charlotta, who is a charge character. And it's interesting how my brain has adapted. You know, obviously, I am not great at this game yet. I still have work to do. I think I'm all right. According to percentile, I'm in, like, the top 30% or something. I don't know. Whatever. As much as those numbers can be trusted when they're data mined. But Charlotta is a charge character, and her DP is like a flash kick, right? It's a down-to-up charge. And the way my brain has decided on it is that when I need one quickly, I will do the EX one, and I'll do it with the skill input, which is just, like, skill and heavy with no input. You don't need to put anything. That's neutral. And so I can pop that out of nowhere. But whenever I do, like, a light or a medium one, I do the technical input, and in my brain, they're almost like different moves.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely am trying to drill myself to be able to switch between the two. I'm kind of doing the approach of learning to do the technical inputs, and then after that I'll start learning when to incorporate the shortcut inputs, because I feel like that might be easier on my end, and I also kind of prefer learning technical inputs, but I'm not even sure that's, like, the proper way to learn it.
Sure. And also, there are some situations where there's no real point, right? Like, again, going back to Charlotta, because she's my main, so she's my touchstone, one of her specials is called Sword of Lumiel, which is 214 and then a button, and she does, like, a sort of, like, a 100-hand slap, like, flurry of slashes. You never, ever want to do that raw, and so you always have time to input that in the middle of a combo or a block string. And that makes the cooldown better. So there's just no reason to ever do the skill version of that.
I've actually found that it's useful to do the skill version if you're having issues with overlapping inputs. Because I don't know how, there's something about how this game does input detection. It's pretty different from what I'm used to in, like, other Arc System Wars games, which I think comes with the, because the game is more Street Fighter paced, so they probably want more technical detection. But there were also some issues, at least on PC, I don't know about console, where they patched the game a few times because people were getting, like, down inputs when doing DPs and stuff like that. So there obviously was something weird going on, and I've had some issues where I've definitely been missing far more DPs than I'm used to in a fighting game. So what I also sometimes do is, when I don't want to risk misinputting, I'll just do the skill button.
That makes sense. Yeah, I have played some Jita, who is my secondary, and she has more, like, traditional Shoto inputs. And I guess I have had some issues, but it hasn't stood out to me that much, but I also haven't spent as much time with her.
If you want some of the big brain stuff, you can do an EX move on the move you don't want, so it's on cooldown, so you'll never miss input into it, which is what I've been doing with Percival.
Oh, you play Percival. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, he's cool. We'll talk about more about that later. Don't diss Percival.
Another thing that I feel like is a differentiator, though it has become, I think, a sort of a staple of Arxis games and generally more modern fighting games, is this game does have a pretty heavy auto combo system where you get an auto combo off of any attack button.
Yeah, and they've definitely been experimenting with that quite a lot since Persona 4. Persona 4 Arena. And had various iterations of it. So we had that in Persona 4 Arena. They had the stylish mode in Blaze Blue, which was essentially like kind of Jury Dog combos. And we had like DBZ and now this. So they definitely think that there is something to do with it. And it's been more and more prevalent as like the core part of the game. And I think like Dragon Ball FighterZ has it as you have like auto combo for each button type, right?
Right.
And here it's just like one universal auto combo.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because I feel like there are specific characters, like I would say Broly in Dragon Ball FighterZ, where auto combo has a unique move that you want to incorporate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if you're using auto combo as your combo tool, that's not like the efficient way to go. In Granblue, that's not true. Like with Vegeta, doing like an auto combo and then mixing in a few EX special moves, you can do 60% almost. Like the bread and butter combos are auto combos and then like into EX into another auto combo.
Yeah, that's what I picked up very early on, and I was kind of confused because like what I thought was, oh, is this just, you know, what I'm doing right now because that's the most logical thing to me, but there's probably like better ways to go about it. But no, it turns out essentially like the big combos are auto combo EX, auto combo special in general. And it feels really weird because I guess the pace is so much different because I keep thinking of it as like an anime fighter where you're kind of just like poking to find an opening and then you just like mash a button and then at the right moment do your special and it kind of keeps rotating in a back and forth of that. So I'm not sure. I don't think it's like less skillful, but it's definitely less involved in the way that I'm used to.
Yeah, I think overall it's a game where the technical floor is significantly lower, and like when I fight someone who's better than me, it's very rarely because their combos are better than me. Which has usually been my experience. Usually in most fighting games, the lowest common denominator, the factor that is dragging me down as a fighter is the fact that my combos are the worst part of my game. In Granblue, my combos are actually fine, and it does feel to me better because when I lose matches in, again, like Dragon Ball, the other game I play the most, a lot of the time it's like, oh, I was playing smarter than you and you just got more damage for opportunities. And here when I lose, it's like, oh, you just played smarter than me and you kicked my ass, basically every time.
Yeah, I think the auto combos definitely put a... like the auto combos and the skill button combined kind of put a really big emphasis to how important learning the normals are. Because a lot of the air normals and the ground normals, they cover like very specific angles and very specific uses. So I've found that knowing how to utilize them here makes much more of a difference because people might not utilize them as much because, you know, you have such accessibility to a combo or to a special that people don't actually realize or don't take advantage of. You know, just spacing with normals, so you can just win, like by doing high-low mix-ups properly and just like keeping your spacing with just like pokes as well.
Yeah, and I think we'll have a moment to talk about the current meta and how it's supposedly going to change. But currently, the prevailing thing, the thing that makes characters top tier, is having a good normal, and specifically one normal.
Yeah.
This game also has, in I think, a first for an Arxis fighter. You could, someone can correct me if that's not accurate. Like a guard button.
Yes, you are correct. In fact, I'm trying to remember if there's anything that has a guard button, but no, they did have a turn button, which I'll actually mention later in this episode, because it's relevant. But no, I don't think they had a guard button.
So yeah, the guard button obviously is a Mortal Kombat style guard button. You hold guard and it will block left or right automatically. It doesn't block up or down. You have to do that yourself. And then if you do a direction plus dodge, you can either do a spot dodge, a dodge in place, or you can do like a dodge forward, a roll, as it were.
Yeah, I haven't learned my way around the dodge. Like the block, the guard is just like a secondary thing. You can guard like normally as well. You can hold back the guard. But I haven't learned to use the dodges properly. So from what I understand, the dodge doesn't actually give you full invulnerability. It just like lowers your hitbox to be like really low, so you can still get sweeped or hit by low hitting attacks mm-hmm. when you dodge.
Right.
But yeah, I haven't been able to like learn it properly enough where I'm satisfied with my use of it. I usually like, you know, I can dodge a projectile and maybe sometimes mm-hmm. like dodge behind the opponent, because I kind of learned to do that with Naoto and Blaze Blue, but nothing where I'm kind of like, yeah, I have a good handle of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a lot to learn on my end, but I have gotten to the point where I use the dodge a lot against like Fairy and her ranged normals. I obviously use it against projectiles. And one thing I've really gotten into is using the forward dodge as like a mini dash when someone tries to do a jump in,
mm-hmm.
because it screws up their spacing so badly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really powerful. I think this game, like, I will want to talk about like the balance and the tier list right now. But the other thing is that no one is used to how the guard button interacts with this game yet. Like a lot of this stuff, like one of the characters who's really strong right now is Lancelot. And I think a big part of that is his left-right mix-ups, because no one's used to using the guard button. If you use the guard button, he just can't open you up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Like I think that learning to use the guard button is probably better than learning to use back to block. But I also understand that it is such a common language in fighting games that back is block, that unless you're really heavy into like Soul Calibur or Mortal Kombat, you're not really used to like guarding back. Like even Tekken's big thing is you hold neutral. You stay neutral to block. But even in Tekken, like you can hold back to block because it's just like a common reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think also that there are downsides to the guard button. They're not as huge, but like, I mean, especially with like, as I say, as I play Charlotta with charge characters, where using the guard button means you're not charging. But also like, people don't think about the fact that when you're holding back, if you aren't actively blocking, if you're like holding back in anticipation, you do walk back a little bit, and that's beneficial. If you're holding the guard button, you're not going to move. And those little movements add up a lot. So I think it's actually a really complicated calculation, and I really like it.
I mean, I guess it is if you're like trying to maybe bait a sweep or something. But I think like the one thing that's common in 2D fighting games, and I think it's true for Granblue, is you by default want to crouch block because the overheads are so slow, and it's much easier to react mm-hmm. by releasing down than pressing down on reaction. So that's why like in a lot of at least our system fighters, you see people like crouch blocking unless the game is super aggressive with overheads. And I don't think Granblue is. I think like the overheads are very clearly telegraphed.
That's true.
But it's definitely like a fresh thing that needs to be explored. I think people are slowly coming around to the idea of how the skill button can be utilized in good ways. But I feel like you said, like, nobody's really paying too much attention to like the dodge roll, let alone the guard button by comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are definitely, I think, underexplored territory.
It's kind of it kind of reminds me of when Blaze Blue introduced the overdrive mode, and if you watch Japanese arcade footage from back when it was released in Japan, a lot of people didn't know how to use it. So, for example, with Hakumen, because his overdrive charged his super meter, what people did was the round starts and they just activate overdrive to get 4 blips of meter for free. Because they didn't know what else to do with it. That was kind of like, oh, I don't know how to use this thing. This is new, but this is the best thing I can think of. So I feel like Garen Roll is probably going to be there for a while until people get into it.
Sure. One thing I didn't put on our notes here, but I do want to mention real quick that is interesting, is that this game has like a two-stage, like a two-level throw tech, where the timing is more generous than most fighting games as far as teching throws, but also if you tech a throw late, you tech the throw, but then like trip and fall down, so the enemy is at an advantage again. It's an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm. I think that also probably has to do with, you know, people not like being thrown.
Sure. Yeah. And this game, like, I think especially against people who do use the guard button, you get it. You see a lot of throws in this game, I find.
Yeah, they're very useful. They do like even a decent chunk of damage.
Yeah, though you can't combo off of them like in some games. So that is, again, that is more Street Fighter than usual Arxis.
To be fair, auto comboing off of a guard seems ridiculous. Without like some Samurai Showdown level damage mitigation.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying it should be there, but you can do that in a lot of Arxis fighting games.
Oh, definitely. But I feel it's like the throws in our Arc System games are much less classic.
Sure, sure. We also have sort of, I feel like, taken from Blaze Blue, the idea of there being like a character unique, sort of like a trait button. Where you have one button that does a specific like type of move associated with your character. So like for Charlotta, it's like a parry and counter. For Gran, the sort of Ryu of this game, it's like a charge up attack. What are other good examples? Matera has a short hop. What does your character do?
He has a command grab that does no damage. And can only combo, right. Combo off of in the corner.
Yes, yes, he has the really bad command throw. I forgot.
I really felt like a lot of the unique actions were very underwhelming, especially coming from like Blaze Blue, which is the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah, they're definitely a lot less strong. In general, I think they add a flavor to characters, but they're often not nearly as essential. They're like Catalina's use theirs a lot because it can be used as like a cancel in combos, and that's pretty good. But for the most part, I don't think
Catalina's and Charlotta's seemed the most useful to me when I was testing.
Charlotta's is good because she has, so her parry reduces the damage of an incoming attack by 50%. It doesn't negate it entirely, but her counterattack is, she's invincible during it, and as long as you're close enough, it's guaranteed, meaning you can use it against ambiguous cross-ups, and you will teleport in front of them and cut them in half.
Yeah, no, that was definitely one of the more useful ones. Catalina's basically felt like Street Fighter focus to me, and mm-hmm. I liked it. All the other ones that I tried, I was kind of, you know, whatever about it. Like, maybe Lancelot's teleport was okay. He has a teleport, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, maybe that's probably, like, more useful than some others. But then I tried Sora's, and he's like, oh, you absorb an attack and get a stock, and that's used for your super, which you may or may not end up doing. And it's kind of very weird and not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in a weird spot. There is an instant block in this game where you get meter from, you know, like perfectly timing a block. Universal overheads, universal lows, universal anti-airs. I feel like the Universal Anti-Air first came up with the idea of the 2H was like a Dragon Ball thing, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then, of course, it has a super meter. But as mentioned before, your skills, your EXs, are all based on the cooldown. Your super meter is only used for your skybound art or super skybound art, which are your super and your, like, your critical health super, respectively.
Yeah. So it's a shared meter, but if you're below 30% health, then the meter glows blue. And in general, unless the round plays out in, like, very specific ways, you will always have at least one super per round.
Or at least the opportunity for it, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is possible to have a match so one-sided that there is no super, but that is, as you say, pretty rare.
I'm not sure, like, what determines it, because you will usually take enough damage to build super meter to have enough for a super. But I think if you take, like, really long combos, it's either really long combos or if you take, like, very high-damaging individual moves, less of them, you might end up in something like in the high 80s or 90s.
You do need to land a few hits of your own.
Mm-hmm.
If you get perfected, you will never get your super.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I guess it is also an Arxis game. You get super by running forward. So if you, like, specifically engineer a scenario where you run forward a bunch, you could get your super. But I have fought, like, especially against Luwain's. I've seen matches against Luwain. Lord Luwain doesn't get to use his super.
Luwain shouldn't get to use many things.
I can't disagree with you there. So moving on to characters, all of the characters in this game are taken from Granblue. So they're characters that the players of that gacha game have a specific history with, and therefore they come into it with, like, an existing relationship and dynamics, which I feel like are reflected, like, decently well in the game. You don't need to have played the game to sort of get the dynamic between people.
Yeah, you can play the story mode if you want the dynamic, but I also think the pre-round alliance are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
yeah, there's some fun stuff.
By the way, did you play in Japanese or English?
I play in Japanese.
I played in English. The voice acting is actually pretty decent. I'm almost feeling like we've reached a point where we're not having cringeworthy anime voice acting in fighting games.
Yeah, this is one of the fighting games that does the BlazBlue thing, where when you're playing online, it respects the setting of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they've set their voices to Japanese or English, you will hear the voice they've chosen for themselves. And so I get to hear a lot of both sides of the voice acting, and I, so far, like, you know, I have my preferences for specific characters, but, like, it's all been pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm very much happy with it. I think the quality's much better than, like, the BB tag was a bit mixed, in my opinion, but it's much better than a lot of other fighting games I've played.
I am very excited to not have to deal with Texas Azrael.
Well, one day maybe he'll make a comeback.
This looks like a feast! Like, oh my god.
I can imagine him being from Texas.
he's got truck nuts. So going into the characters, I don't know, like, I wrote out all the characters just in case we want to talk about anyone in particular, but general, it feels like they're trying to cover most of the, like, the general archetypes. You have your Ryu and Gran. You have Jita, who is, like, a modified Ryu. You could say Ken or Sakura. She has, like, Rekkas, and she is generally more, I think, like, combo and pressure than neutral focused. Catalina's really poke heavy. Charlotta is, like, Akuma Guile. I don't know. Who do you think's interesting? Who do you want to talk about?
So I didn't like playing Vasaraga, but I thought he was interesting because it's an archetype of, or it's a look and feel of a character that I've seen in 3D games. Like, he reminds me a lot of Astaroth, but he also reminds me a lot of a character whose name I can't remember, from Dark Awake, if you've ever seen or played that fighting game.
No.
Dark Awake is a PlayStation 3 fighting game that was mostly for arcades. And it's essentially Warhammer Fantasy, the fighting game, except they didn't get the license. But it's literally, you can just look at it and it's just like, yeah, those are like, you know, Dark Elves. Those are like the dwarves, exactly the same as in Warhammer Fantasy. And one of the characters was a big dude with a hammer. Looks like a lot like Vasaraga. And his gimmick was having armor on his moves. And Vasaraga reminds me a lot of that, but I just could not get into it because it felt like if you're not utilizing the armor, you just kind of die. Like, he's one of those where you have to use his unique skill button or you're not going to get anything done.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the game is in its early goings, and I do think it has some significant balance problems, and I would say also, like, bad matchups. Mm-hmm. Playing as Charlotta, I've never lost to a Vasaraga, and I've fought Vasaragas who were way higher ranked than me. It seems like Vasaraga just can't do a damn thing in that matchup.
Yeah, some of the matchups gave me very bad flashbacks of fighting Blaze Blue Zoners. Like, the first thing I fought was what's her face, Matera, the bow and arrow chick, and I was just like, I think I was playing either Charlotte or Vasaraga when I was playing against her, and I was just like, what do I do? Like, what is there that I can do?
Matera, once you get used to it, and also this, Matera is one of the ones who teaches you to use the dodge. Matera, also one of those matchups that as Charlotta is free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You do have, so it is an Arxis game, so of course you have your gimmick-focused character with item RNG. It's Luwain. Luwain sucks and I hate him.
Yeah, I feel like Luwain could have been much better than he is. I don't know. Like, it felt weird playing him because, like, his gimmicks, I haven't played him enough to know. It was just, like, a first impression of, like, okay, I like gimmicks and characters, but this one kind of just seems like he doesn't have some core stuff to support those gimmicks, or good enough core stuff to support the gimmicks.
Like, both of his supers are, like, just pure, like, mini-games, to a point where, like, if you, like, I mean, it's, they're difficult mini-games, but, like, you see a good Luwain versus a good, like, a truly good anyone else, and those supers are useless.
Yeah, it feels like they definitely should have taken some notes from Guilty Gear in terms of gimmick characters, because, like, gimmick moves in Guilty Gear are basically Zappa, Faust, and Robokai, and all of those characters were really strong.
Mm. And also, like, those characters have options that are not pure gimmick.
Yeah,
Faust has supers that are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. That's why they're so good, because they have core options, like good solid options that aren't gimmicky, so that gimmicks can be supported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereas Luwain, I don't feel like is there on that front. I think Luwain needs like a damaging super and some other changes just to make him viable.
The install is funny though.
It is funny. But also, if you don't want to make him viable, I don't mind. I hate that man.
I have no context as to who Luwain is.
There are characters. The problem is that I do have some context, and Luwain's just a creep, as is Soriz in Grand Blue Versus, or Grand Blue Fantasy, so it makes it hard for me to root for them. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate the context for Luwain, that all of Luwain's fights are contextualized as a story he's telling at the bar that never actually happened. That's funny.
That's pretty good. Well, I did play Soriz. Like, he's my secondary character because I wanted to play a punch character. And I did I did like playing him for most part. I do think that his core mechanic is kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, his Growler, Azrael's Growler, which he just does to intercept moves to power up his super, is not very good.
No, it's like the Growler, like, let's just call it a Growler. When you absorb a move, you can press forward in a button to do a follow-up. So Because you're absorbing a move, you can interrupt a combo. So it's kind of good at that if somebody's like mashing, trying to mash an auto combo or trying to do a multi-hit move, you can interrupt the hits, but you still take damage. It's just armored. And then you get stock, and the stock you get is tied per growler use. So if some, if like somebody does a combo that has three hits, and you absorb all three hits, you only get one stock, and it goes up to five. And then what the stock does is, if you do your super skybound art, which is like an install that breaks off his clothes, and he has like some new special moves and a different finisher as well, that's stronger. I think it's like the higher defense or something like that. And it's pretty useless because you basically have to build up this thing in case you get low enough on your health bar to need to use the install, but then you need to use an install in the way that, you know, your opponent's not just gonna like turtle up or anticipate it or anything like that, which is usually an issue with installs. So
and also, given that it gives you a defense bonus, but you can only trigger it when you're already really low health, you get minimal effect of that defense bonus.
Yeah, and as soon as I started, like when I started playing him, I lost 9 matches in a row against somebody else who was just like starting out like playing the game. And I was like, okay, I know I can take this person. What am I doing wrong? And as soon as I stopped using that mechanic, that growler, I had an infinitely easier time. Like playing without the install is so much better.
Yeah, he's definitely got, I think he's very fun to play. But his kit is just not there.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Which is why I moved to Percival. Percival seemed kind of up my alley.
One of the things I like is that in all meta fiction representations, throughout like Grand Blue, like in Grand Blue, like official like comics and stuff, they use Gran to represent the idea of like a person who's newer to the game. And then Jita, who is the other playable character from Grand Blue, like you pick, to represent a more veteran player. And they represent that in the game as well, where Gran is more like sloppy swordsmanship, and like his big super attack is using the first summon in the game. Whereas like Jita has like supers that are like using like the powered up version of that dragon. Or her level 1 super, where she turns into the, like, Conqueror of the Eternals, like, $40 skin from the game. I really like that bit of color.
That's what it is, okay. And I was also told that, like, the super where she pulls out all the, like, weapons floating around her, that's all, like, endgame gear.
Yeah.
So I
like that, like, the way they're represented there. Also, along those lines, you were talking about Vasaraga, who is this like huge guy with like black armor and a black like horned helmet and glowing red eyes, who wields a scythe that shoots like black energy, and has like a really dark, deep voice, and he's like a really nice, shy dude, and I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I had like some of the wind quotes where he's like, "Oh man, I'm getting too old for this."
Or like you fighting against Charlotta, she's like, "That's quite a weapon. You're quite the opponent." And Vasaraga's like, no, not at all. I'm just trying my best. Thank you for noticing." So the way these characters are framed can be really funny.
Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to play him as well. He seemed like a pretty cool dude, and he's also voiced by ProZed, who's also a pretty good voice actor. Yeah. I really liked Percival because I usually play annoying characters by moveset, but this was the first time I could play. I decided to play an annoying character by characterization. So I kind of like how it's kind of interesting, like in the pre-battle fights, to see who Percival respects and who he disrespects. And so far, I think there's like three people in the game he has a normal intro with, whereas everybody else he just has either a insult or a backhanded comment.
Yeah, I think Charlotta's one of the backhanded, and I was like, I mean, I guess it's backhanded, that's something. He almost respects me.
I wish I could remember what it was, but there was, because when you have different intros depending on whether you're player one or not, And there was this one response where to one character he has like the first line, and it's like, oh, like that's pretty nice. And then like it zooms into the second line, and it's just like destroys the other character, like some like really like bad insult. And I'm like, oh, okay, now that's more along the lines of what I expect.
Yeah, he feels like he's Soul bad guy,
and he has Gem's stock mechanic where you power up stocks to power up specific moves, except unlike Gem, it's much easier to use. And this is actually one of the characters where I do the big brain move, because I sometimes do the install by accident. So what I do is I just do the EX install, get max stock, and then play normally.
All right. I respect it.
But I do like him. Very straightforward. Nice moves. Has, like, standard issue DP. Has a very... I like limited projectiles a lot in fighting games. So I like his, because he either has a short-range slower projectile or a long-range faster, and they were both ground projectiles. So I like... I like things like that because it makes it more interesting to play around rather than just standard issue fireball.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand his grab, though. Like, that's something I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah, it seems like it's just for when people get too scared to hit buttons. Otherwise, it's useless.
Yeah, and I played against people who are not afraid to hit buttons, so I didn't even get a chance to practice it.
We've got Ladiva, who is the primary grappler of this game. She's like a wrestler with like she's got like a drop kick super, and she's got she's got pretty decent mobility for a grappler. Not like all the way to like complete acrobat, but she's got like a running lariat, and she's got pretty good pressure for a grappler. She seems pretty solid.
Yeah, I thought she was fun. I just didn't want to play a grappler this time around, but I thought as far as grapplers go, she's. She's my style, the lightning grappler.
Mm-hmm. Fairy, I think we mentioned earlier, but she's got a whip with like long normals, and she like throws like her ghost pets as like traps, and she's very annoying to fight.
Yeah, I found that fighting Fairy in the Terra, I don't know, is it just a, cat people in Grand Blue or like animal people in Grand Blue are just obscenely annoying, because Luwayne, Fairy, and Matera are all really obnoxious to fight.
Well, I think it's interesting because Vasaraga is an animal person. You can't tell, but Vasaraga's like a bull man.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I think it's mostly their choices. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, Narmaya is an animal lady.
Oh, yeah, she's... Well, she's like a tiny animal lady, a tiny anime lady with horns, so I'm not sure if she's like an animal person or a demon person.
She's a cow lady. So is Vasaraga. There are cow people.
Ah, okay.
That's why she has really big breasts. Do you get it?
I wasn't going to mention it, but okay.
Listen, I say the quiet part loud. It's my job around here.
I mean, to be fair, one of her normals does have the hitbox on her chest.
It does, yes. And then just like as far as like the balance of this game currently as it stands, the top tiers are like Catalina and Lancelot, and the thing that unites them, the thing that apparently makes you top tier in this game, is having a like a stand medium that is plus on block. Because both Catalina Percival is not top tier. Catalina and Lancelot can just walk forward and tap B over and over, and you really can't answer it. And one of the things they said, like, look at Jita. When they released Jita and Soras, they said, look at Jita, and that will tell you what we're intending to do as far as balance patches. And Jita's stand medium is zero, is plus zero. So I'm pretty sure both of them are going to get a little nerf soon, and we'll see what that does to the meta. I find Catalina to be, like, strong, but, like, honest.
Yeah, no, she's playing against her and playing against Gran seem pretty fine to me.
Mm-hmm. Lancelot can go to hell.
Yeah, I could tell that even in the closed beta. Like, playing against Lancelot, I was just like, oh, it's one of these characters. And I felt so bad when I played him. And, like, the other, like the people I play on just didn't know what to do. They were just like, yeah, I'm just skipping this. It doesn't even feel good to play.
Yeah, he's got a meterless invincible DP. Like, he doesn't need to put it on cooldown for it to be invincible and to get out of any situation. He's got the, like, the plus on block, stand medium. He's got a Rekka that is, like, every part of it is a frame trap. He's got a projectile that moves slowly enough that he can run behind it. He's got teleports. He's so good.
That's because he's a cool dude with two swords. Like, nobody else has two swords in the game. Can't compete with that.
That's true. That's true. And also, when he beats you, he turns and smiles and offers to help you up because he's a nice guy.
Oh, man. I honestly would prefer getting beat up by Percival and being told, like, go home and be a, like, I don't know, a peasant or something.
A family knight?
He wouldn't even call you a knight. He would just be like, go home and be a family vassal.
You know, that's actually... Did you know the story behind his win pose?
No.
So... Over at Arxis, there is a lady who works... They told the story in interviews. There is a lady who works in, I think it's accounting, who is a big Grand Blue fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves Lancelot. And they were trying to think of stuff for him, and they were like, what is the nicest thing Lancelot could do after beating you? And she said, oh, he would absolutely just, like, turn around and give you a big smile and help you back up.
Nice.
And so that's how he got his win post.
I suppose that's that kind of stuff is on Arxis to decide. I'm actually interested in how the separation between what Cygames dictates and what, like, Arxis gets to decide is.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is after Dragon Ball FighterZ. I think they probably earned a lot of, like, of respect and like leeway with licensors because Dragon Ball showed that they are really dedicated to loyally representing the work.
I mean, I think they've always had that reputation. It's just like they haven't done licensed stuff like that in a while. Because even back in the sure. PS2 era, Sengoku Basara and Fist of the North Star, they both had details that, like, you had to, like, get really into the franchise to know them. So I think they've had, like, probably in the Japanese game development scene that reputation already. I just think it might be that Toei and Namco are much more in general controlling about how they go about things. Like, Toei Animation is more about hey, this is how we want our Dragon Ball IP done, so they're probably strict about that. Whereas Namco is, this is how we want to cultivate the fighting game scene for our fighting games and how it should go about. So I think Cygames has a much less interest in, like, a fighting game scene. So in terms of, like, oh, we want this to, you know, be one of several Cygames IPs, like, there's going to be a Shadow Wars fighting game as well or something like that. I don't think they have any plans for that, so probably Arxis had more leeway in terms of what they could decide compared to DBZ.
That's fair. But also, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe that will change because this is now Arxis's second best-selling fighting game.
Is it?
After Dragon Ball, yes.
Oh, interesting.
It's already sold 350,000 copies, which, you know, fighting games, anime's fighting games, that's really good.
That's really, I didn't realize that, that's probably like the Granblue IP being stronger than I thought. Because Granblue is, there's this thing with mobile games where you can go you can get really into video games in general, but there'll be just some, like, random mobile game with, like, 50 million users, and you will never have heard about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No, that's it's the weird thing about that whole scene.
Yeah.
And it's especially weird because so it released later in Europe. Is that correct?
Yeah, a month. So it's kind of weird. On console, it released, like, a month and a half or something, like, later. Whereas on PC, it released sooner. So if you were playing on PC, you had no issues with publishing. But if you were buying it on console, you had to wait, like, much longer.
I see. So the publisher here in the States, let me double check. I remember it being weird. The U.S. publisher is Xseed and Marvelous, which, like, the game felt to me like a pretty major, like, major fighting game, but those are small companies. Yeah, it's Xseed over here. And when I went to get a copy, I am the kind of crazy person who likes having copies on my shelf, even though it literally doesn't make any difference at all. So I went to go get a physical copy of this game, and I had to go to 3 stores. And the 3rd store I went to was a GameStop, which I generally try to avoid. But I was like, God, where am I also going to go? I went to Target, I went to Best Buy, and I went to the GameStop. And they were like, I don't think we got any. Let me check the back. And they were like, oh, they accidentally shipped us a copy. I can sell you this.
Yeah, so North...
And that was on launch day.
Yeah, so that's North America is Xseed. Europe is Marvelous, which is like... Yeah, they're basically like small anime game publisher. And it released in Europe on March 27th on console, but in on Steam it released on March 13th. So 10 days after the American console release and 2 weeks before the European console release. So it had like a bit of like a staggered release schedule. It kind of reminded me of the olden days of fighting games where Europe gets the shaft. Especially because like almost two full months later after the Japanese release for the European one. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know why they went with the publishers they did. That's like Cygames handling it. I feel like there are better publishers to do these things for Europe and for the US, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, I learned that Namco is publishing Guilty Gear in Europe and Asia, which means I will probably not have to wait, like, a month to play it after everybody else.
I'll probably wait a month to play it because I'm not sure about Strive, but... You know, I know, but I am saying that as a person who's been sitting on the sidelines and reading tweets, and you got to play it, so, you know.
Yeah. And if you want to know my opinion, you should follow me on Twitter or wait for an episode on Guilty Gear Strive at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do an episode on it, and I'll get all my Guilty Gear grievances out. For the record, before I get any emails, I respect Guilty Gear, I just don't have a very good time with it usually. That's all.
That's fine. That's a lot of fighting games for me. I can respect it, but I don't like it, like Skullgirls. Yeah. But anyway, to go back to Granblue Versus, it does have a unique... It does have a bit of a novel single-player mode.
Yeah, it's got this RPG mode, which tells a story... Which, as far as I can tell by my research, is like a filler arc, is not actually from the game, the mobile game, but is like basically acts like, you know, like a missing chapter, and has like the usual structure of that game. Like the UI looks like the gacha game, and then you do draws and you get items, you equip gear, and so on.
Yeah, it's very it has a lot of RPG mechanics where you get gear, and then you have to level up the gear, and then you have to meld the same gear with that gear to raise the level cap, and then it gives you the higher number, and then you have to level up the skills, and then you unlock new gear, and then you draw, like, the gacha pulls and hope that it's some rare stuff, and the only reason I'm kind of trying to play it is so I can get new weapon skins for the online mode.
I have poked with it a little bit, and I'll probably play more at some point, but very early on, I looked up the weapon skins for Charlotta, and I don't like any of them, and I looked up for the colors for Charlotta, and I like the first one, so I bought it. And now I'm Ace Pride Charlotta, and I don't have to play single player.
Yeah, I just got the season pass, so I got those colors unlocked, but not for the DLC characters, because for some reason they don't give you... You have to buy those separately.
On console, the season pass doesn't give you those colors.
There must be a PC thing then.
I guess. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it is interesting that there's co-op for this.
Yeah, I do like that. I like that you can play co-op both online and offline. That's pretty good because you can... How it's structured is it's not like fights. So it's not like tag team fights. It's more like it takes a fighting game stage and kind of zooms it in a bit or like makes it like a bit longer so you can kind of scroll left and right and then enemies spawn there and then you have to hit the enemies and when you're done hitting all the enemies you move to the next screen and continue that until you've beaten the quest and then you move on to the next quest and sometimes there's a boss fight where it's either a big grunt or it's an actual versus fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of emulating a beat 'em up.
Yeah, I think it feels slightly less good than other beat 'em up modes in fighting games, but it's a very specific combination of limitations that lead to that. So the thing that this reminds me the most of is Tekken Force or Guilty Gear Tsuka, and both of them were very classic beat 'em up style modes where you know you scroll ahead, fight a bunch of dudes because now you can't scroll anymore, and then when you kill the dudes, you keep scrolling ahead. So you're kind of like moving forward, even if the background is the same, but like it gives you the sense of forward progression. Whereas in Granblue, you kind of just stand in one arena and wait for stuff to spawn and keep hitting it. So you don't really have this sense of I'm progressing towards something. It's more of I'm just hitting stuff until enough of it dies and the game says I'm done. The reason they did that is because the backgrounds in this one are so damn detailed that, you know, they can't make, like, a full stage in that style.
For a bit of that rant, I was ready to interrupt and be like, wait, Guilty Gear Asuka? And then I realized I was confusing it with Guilty Gear 2 Overture, aka There's a Battle to be Won.
No.
Which is not what you were talking about.
No. So Guilty Gear Asuka, I mentioned I would talk about the turn button. So Guilty Gear Asuka is a four-player fighting game that has two lanes, like old Fatal Fury. And... it uses all the assets from, well, not all the assets, it uses all the character assets from Guilty Gear XX. And because it was a four-person fighting game, they had the issue of how do I determine who I'm facing. In Granblue, it's kind of like you press the left button and you turn around. In Guilty Gear Asuka, because the moves were direction-sensitive, like in Granblue, they didn't do that. Instead, you had a specific button, which was called the turn button, and you had to press a button to turn around your character. And it was really annoying. But it had a beat-em-up mode, which was a very classic-style beat-em-up mode, where, you know, you go past the, like, city, the, I don't know, the farm fields, there's elevator stages, there were even secret warps. You had the enemy grunts you beat up, and then they drop, like, health and stuff like that, and you had a character you can upgrade. Like, there was a special version of Robokai where you could give him moves from other characters to upgrade him. And it was like, not super detailed. I think it was, like, a bit on higher level than Tekken Force was back in the day, like in Tekken 3, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. But it still felt good because there was kind of, like, some, like, forward progression within a stage. And whenever I play the Granblue RPG mode fights, it's kind of just, well, I don't know how long I'm going to have to fight these guys. It doesn't tell me how many enemies there are, unless it's like a holdout mode where it says survive this long. And then when I kill enough guys, then I go to the next stage. And then I finish the quest. And then after I finish the quest, the game tells me, oh, by the way, had you used your skill 10 times, you would have gotten this special thing. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that in advance? And it's like, oh, because it's a secret. Guess you're going to have to replay this stage. And then I go, well, no, I'm not going to replay this stage because there's only so many times I can watch this stage with infinite enemy knights spawning that I punch.
Yep. And I have two thoughts here in the revelation of the turn button.
Yeah.
One is, I actually wish we had a turn button.
Same.
Because so many times your inputs in the RPG mode get screwed up because it turns you around and does the wrong move.
Yep, even with the skill shortcut, yep.
And the other thing is, I think it's actually interesting, the turn button. I know it doesn't sound like it works like this, but it reminds me of starting today, there's the Gundam Extreme versus Maxi Boost on closed beta, which is from the same series as Gundam Versus. And in that game, you have like the targeting button that switches between your two targets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I feel like the targeting in that feels really good, where it's like this, it's this thing where you're switching targets and you can use that to like psych people out and you're changing as the circumstance demands. But it sounds like it just like, if you hit the turn button, you turn around in Asuka. Is that right?
Yeah, it's literally just that.
I would do it so that if the turn button changes what character on screen you are like facing in relation to.
Yeah, like a toggle through that maybe. Because the max you can have is the max you can have is 4 people on the screen, so you have 3 opponents, but also there's team fights, so if you do 2v2 you really only have 2 targets to switch between.
And if you're doing a free for all, if you're doing a 1v1v1, you've kind of been given up on anything making sense anyway. So
Actually, I think the one other thing the turn button does is if you press the turn button plus another attack button, it switches lanes. That's the only other thing it does, because you have a back lane and a front lane.
Sure, that makes sense.
But if you want to try to see how it feels in practice, maybe we can do a Guilty Gear Asuka Power 6 section and just cry.
That sounds great. I think we have to both control 2 characters.
It is definitely... you know how people joke like, oh man, it's a new Guilty Gear soundtrack and they're making an entire game for it as well. Asuka is literally that, because it has all original tracks. So it's like, oh, thank God there's a Guilty Gear Asuka album, because it's really good and I never have to actually play the game. But yeah, RPG mode, I think it's a massive, massive step up from the Dragon Ball FighterZ story mode, because I really hated the Dragon Ball FighterZ story mode.
Sure.
And it's definitely more enticing than something like Soul Calibur story mode. But I think it's alright. It's not, like, great, and if I didn't know you could unlock weapon skins, I probably wouldn't be playing it. But it's not, like, a chore to play it.
Mm-hmm. How are you finding the netcode?
So on PC, it seemed to be pretty good, from my experience. So because you're on console, we couldn't play together. But I did try it with somebody from the DC area, and we did not have we did not have issues for most part. I think the times we had issues was just the, you know, because there's a pandemic going and my entire neighborhood is basically people sitting at home, my internet is kind of, like, in the neighborhood stressed out, so it's not as good as it usually is. But even considering that, it was like, on par with what we get. I did play with somebody from the UK as well, and it seemed to depend on who was hosting, because if they hosted, I had some really bad latency, but if I hosted, it seemed fine for both of us. So probably that has to do with it as well. We're all pretty good. Makes sense. I'm happy with it on PC.
Yeah, on PS4, I'm pretty happy with the netcode as well. It seems pretty stable, as you say. I haven't had very many issues. And playing with people I know, I actually have had no issues so far. The one thing I will rake them over the coals for is I have played a lot of the ranked matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And their ranking system is completely ludicrous.
Oh?
So, let me tell you a story. I decided, I was like, you know, I'm ranked as B3, and I don't think that's accurate. I think I'm better than B3. And the way it works is, like, F, E, D, C, B, A is ascending, and then 5 to 1, 1 is the highest within that rank, mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to play a bunch of matches, and I'm going to... I'm going to raise that rank. And they don't tell you how it works. It's just like, oh, you've got a series of like gem sockets underneath your rank. And so I filled up a gem socket somehow. I played 3 matches against people my same rank and didn't get any gems. And then I was matched up against someone who was an S2, way higher rank than me. They beat me, and I lost a gem, and I ranked down.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense! I don't understand. Like, I, the cause and effect is completely baffling to me.
I do want to mention, now that you reminded me of some the online stuff, I do think it is absolutely ludicrous in this game that you have to do rank matches to be able to play online at all. So
yes,
so that is. I don't think there's any excuse for that. Like, for playing, like, it's not like playing ranked mode online. For ranked mode, doing qualification matches, I'm super fine with. I even supported. But I was playing a game. I wanted to play with my friend. And I was like, okay, cool, let's play. And it's like, before you can play online, we're going to give you qualification matches. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm just going to play a player match. Who gives a shit? And it's like, no, you cannot touch online at all until you've done your qualification matches. I'm like, okay. So you have to play... God, I don't know how many matches it was, like, against a CPU, of all things. Like, you have to play...
I think you have to play 3 CPU matches and then 2 player matches.
Yeah, but, like, the 2 player matches have to be, like, a full set best of 2, because I left one after losing one, and I had to, like, do it again.
Oh, no, they don't. What I did is I fought one person and I hit rematch, and that counted as 2 matches, and I was good.
No, well, I had to fight, so I fought one person twice, and... 2 people once, and then let me play online.
Huh.
I don't know.
I think maybe it bugged for you. That's not how it's supposed to work.
Okay, but in any case, I think it's still ludicrous that, like, for me playing with my friend, you know, that it takes this much time for me to just jump into the game that is multiplayer focused is ridiculous. Like, imagine if you want to, like,
yeah.
I don't know, if you bought Overwatch, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna join my friend. Like, nope, you have to play, like... a bot match first, and then a match with random people, and then we'll let you play with your friend. Like, I would, like, refund it immediately.
Yeah, I played online with, like, 5 different friends at this point. And for every single one of them, the way it has gone the first time we played is, like, alright, I've created a room. And they're like, okay, how do I get to your room? And they're like, go to online. And, like, oh, it says I have to qualify. I'm like, okay, I'll see you in half an hour.
It's ridiculous. I hope they never do that again in any game. It is terrible. I think for ranked, it's fine, but for casual online, it should not be a thing.
Yeah, ranked calibration obviously makes sense, but making it a prerequisite to playing with your friends is just nonsense.
Like, I even go with, like doing the public lobbies, like the arcade lobbies, I even go like, okay, sure, maybe do qualification for that, maybe, so people don't grief each other, but like for joining a public room or a friend is no.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah.
But overall, I really, really like this game. I like it a lot, and part of that's because I'm good at it. And it's so rare to have a fighting game where I feel good.
Guess I'll never know, like, because we're on different platforms.
Well, you'll see me at fucking Wednesday night fights as soon as this pandemic ends, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm planning to go to tournaments for this game. I like it a lot.
Ooh, well, now maybe I should get the PS4 version, or because my PS Plus expired, maybe you should get the PC version when it's dirt cheap.
You know, if it gets dirt cheap, I will happily do it. It turns out my computer can run Dragon Ball just fine, so I'm sure it can run Granblue.
The person I played with keeps telling me they play on a crappy laptop and that Granblue runs fine, so I'm sure you'd be fine.
Excellent. Okay, well, yeah, when it goes on sale, I'll happily get it. And if you are sitting at home wondering if you should get it, I mean, listen, everyone has a different financial situation, but I think you should.
I think it's pretty good. I think if Guilty Gear Strive was releasing in a month, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not super interested. But since it's releasing at the end of the year, and Undernight's netcode is pretty bad, I'm going to, like, third pickings, which is this, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm fine with playing this, laid back, having some fun, don't have to win, and I will probably move on after Strive releases. But maybe I won't. Who knows? Nobody can predict the future anymore. We used to be able to, but it's gone now.
Mm-hmm. And I will also specifically say, if you are, like, a sort of a traditional, like, a Street Fighter kind of player looking to transition to anime fighters, or if you're an anime fighter player who has Street Fighter friends, this is your gateway drug. This is the weed. Give them the weed. 420 just passed, but it's not too late.
Yeah, no, this, I think this, the if you have somebody who goes, oh man, I don't want to learn another fighting game, or oh man, I don't want to learn a fighting game, like, that's so much work, this is also a good thing to pitch, because, like, honestly, this is not really that difficult to learn basic competence in.
No.
I haven't played, I don't know how ridiculous mid-level gets, because I said this about Tekken as well, and then mid-level Tekken play was, like, ludicrously difficult compared to, like, lower level play, but this doesn't feel like it's gonna go that much out of hand.
I have now ranked up to the middle of A rank. I am a mid-level player. It's just mind game heavy. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Has my seal of approval.
All right. Well, with Muadrag's seal of approval, we will go ahead and head to the back end of the podcast, where we ask Muadrag, what if people liked you here and wonder where else they could find you?
Well, you can find me on twitter.com/mdkii. That's MDK Roman numerals 2. And you can also find me on twitch.tv/realsovietbear, where I stream a lot of things, sometimes fighting games, sometimes not fighting games. And that has a lot of other links to stuff I do. And where can people find you, Six?
Well, I can be found on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. And a pin tweet on there tells you all the stuff that I do, but if you're like, I don't want to look at a pin tweet, just tell me. Okay. You twisted my arm. You should go to scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. I do a lot of articles. I do a lot of podcasts. I do the very occasional stream, and I just generally am a personality on the internet with thoughts about video games and anime.
And anime video games.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Listen, I have my copy of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot still installed, even though that's a bad game.
Okay, but I will need to ask you for your thoughts on Tales of Berseria on some podcast.
I mean, I could give them to you, but not right now, because it's time to say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Peace out, y'all.